Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Going to interview someone who's intent on getting lost is likely to be an adventure, and so it was when I went to meet Jenny Savage in the New Forest. Jenny creates audio walks punctuated with instructions on various routes to follow. On the 3rd of October 2014, Jenny is inviting people from all over the world, that includes you and me, to listen to such an audio walk and get lost.
I'm Jenny Savage and I've been working on a project called Fracture Mob for a while, and it's going to happen on the 3rd of October at 6:30 p.m. British summer time. So we're just going to go left now, and then we'll turn immediately right.
Okay, so where did you conceive the idea from?
It's actually kind of grown out of over a really long period of time. I started making these guides to getting lost in, I think, 2005, and whenever I went to another city, I would just record a walk, taking in the kind of sonic landscape of that environment, I suppose, and then also the geographic reference being the walk itself. So I start off just saying, you know, wherever you are, turn right and then walk straight on, that kind of thing. But with those earlier walks, what I was interested in is really, how do you narrate place? Like, how do you walk along and describe what you're seeing around you at the same time as kind of creating this walk? Let's turn left here and we'll go down this road, and then we'll turn right and head off over the common, I think, if we can.
Okay, so let's go back.
Let me just check that. Yeah, I think we can get across it. Mind the little grid. And now we're going right here, crossing the sort of common bit. Oh, we've got to jump a ditch. Ready?
Does the instructions include
jumping ditches? No, most of them are kind of take an escalator or got some stairs or things like that.
So did you at the very outset know that you were wanting to put together a sort of collage of different walks?
No. When I started off making them, I actually made them and showed them as individual walks. So people would turn up to an event and they would choose to take the Moroccan walk or the Copenhagen walk or the Indian walk or that kind of thing. So there was like often I've shown it where there's been like a sort of range of headsets and people could just choose where they wanted to listen to.
When you say you've shown it, that these aren't, we must make sure the listener understands, they're not video recordings.
I know, they're audio,
really audio.
So I guess shown it in the sense of it being an event. So on those recordings, they were recordings of one place, so a kind of Moroccan walk, for example, where you'd switch it on and I'd say, right, I'm heading into the souk, turn left and keep walking. And then as I'm walking, they hear the sounds of people sat at market stalls. And
for those walks, was it your intention that they should be undertaking a walk listening to this, or were they sitting in their armchair listening to this?
Oh no, they were walking. So usually these were at an event, for example. I've done quite a few of them where, you know, people would turn up and then they just go off and walk for half an hour, leave the gallery, take a walk, and then come back and bring the headsets back. So.
And do you then ask them to respond to the walk in some way that they've listened to, or give
really
any feedback, or you haven't done that?
Okay. No, I mean, people generally, when they come back, they sort of tell you about something that's happened or something that they saw or where they ended up or something. But I wasn't so interested in collecting stuff from it. It was more about just the experience of doing it, really. But what I'd done on those recordings was I talked a lot. And I talked a lot about what I was seeing or the things that were around me. And then I was listening back to them and I just felt that they weren't, I don't know, I just felt I didn't really want to use that anymore. And I don't know, I think it was this time last year, I just started thinking, well, maybe I would do a re-edit and merge them all together and see if I could cut the sound together in a way that was seamless, so that you could go from one place to another. And that, because what I found when I did these events or exhibitions is everybody wanted to listen to the really exotic locations, which were, you know, very rich in terms of the sound quality, but also, you know, I sort of felt that there was other recordings that people didn't choose, so I decided to cut it all together. And I think the purpose of that was to remove a lot of my narration and just pare it down much more to the instruction to walk, and then also to, I guess, create a sense of disorientation in the walker, because I think naturally as you're walking and you're listening to the sound, you're thinking, oh, where's, wonder where this is recorded. And there's one bit, for example, that I really like, which is where you're in the sort of souk in Morocco listening to people selling stuff, and then it gradually kind of changes, and then you realise you're in a market in London. It's actually Columbia Road Market. But there's quite a sort of shift in perception then, where you kind of feel like, oh right, I was here and now I'm here. I don't know, I think I found that more interesting really than what I was doing with the guides before. So
when the original walks that you did, what duration were they?
They were all 30 minutes, so right, the same duration as okay, this one.
So this one, let's tell a listener what this one is. What's happening on the 3rd of October, and why the 3rd of October?
On the 3rd of October, there's an event called Fracture Mob. It's basically the Guide to Getting Lost, the re-edited version, is being broadcast at 6:30 p.m. on Stress FM, which are a group of artists and musicians that run a radio station based in Lisbon.
The instructions will be in English. They're clips from all these different walks you've done.
Yeah.
Brought together in one 30-minute durational piece.
Yes, that's it. Right, so if you just walk up here and then take your next left. I've organised meet-up points all over the world, and the idea is that at 6:30 p.m. British summer time, people all over the world will do the walk at the same time. So clearly people where it's 6:30 in the morning may not do it. But I think it's as much for me about the proposition of, should we go up there because it's...
We're going to jump another ditch. No, I think you're right. I think probably wiser.
For me, it's as much about the idea that, you know, to propose everybody gets lost at the same, you know, lots of people all get lost simultaneously. It's as much about the kind of idea of it as it is the fact of, you know, people actually meeting up everywhere. But there's the possibility that that might happen. And it's the 3rd of October. It's really quite mundane.
It's really to get into the scheduling with Stress.
Yeah, exactly. And also Plymouth Art Centre. This piece kind of came about. I was commissioned by Plymouth Art Centre kind of ages and ages ago to make something that enabled people to re-explore Plymouth. And so that was kind of part of my thinking. If you turn right now.
Now, we're recording this at the end of August.
Yeah.
It's going to take place in 6 weeks' time. What sort of numbers of points around the world have signed up already?
I don't know, really. I mean, that's the whole thing. I've got no idea, really, how many people will do it.
But already you've got quite a few points on your website.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
What sort of numbers are they?
I don't know. I've just been putting them on as people have.
This
it's
is
quite a long list, isn't it?
It's an incredibly laissez-faire attitude. Is this something that you're going to be inviting some kind of feedback from the people who do it?
Well, at the end of the walk, I ask people to take a photograph.
People who might listen to this may not yet have listened to the download. Are you going to maintain it for a while?
The idea is that the download is a completely limited edition, really. So it's only available to download the week of the event, and then it goes. It will still exist in the world after the event, and people will be able to pass it on if they want to. And again, it's because I really want people to try and do it at the same time.
Okay.
And not just download it and do it when they fancy it.
Yes.
If you saw what I mean. So I thought at least if I do it that week, it might inspire people to say, right, I'm going to do it on Friday night.
And especially if they're doing it at different times during the day, because you're asking them all to do it at 6:30 British summertime.
Yeah, exactly.
we could watch them across the globe. Is that what your plan? If they then photograph whatever's in front of them, that will appear as a process going across the globe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm hoping is that, you know, I guess that we'll get some interesting photos, but, you know, so at the end of it, the idea of, like, can you capture in a photograph what it's like to have been lost? I don't know.
How many places are those instructions coming from in that 30-minute duration?
I don't think I want to say.
At least half a dozen.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And these instructions were from the original. You haven't done a complete voiceover with a new left, right.
No. They're
the originals.
It's the original instructions and,
And they were instructions that you were, in a sense, giving yourself. Had you started off with the walks in an effort to get lost in a place you were unfamiliar with?
Yeah, I didn't really get lost in the... I mean, quite a few of the places I did it, I was pretty sort of worried about getting lost. Wandering around these, like, odd spots and kind of with a microphone. I think there's one bit where I was on a beach in India and this kid's just, like, really hassling me to buy a watch and I'm trying to, like, maintain the sort of narration. Walk straight ahead and just keep going until you get to that tree.
Okay, Jenny, well, someone might just dismiss this as some kind of ephemeral type of thing. You just want to have lots of people meet up, follow a narration and get lost. But there's actually more to it than that, isn't there?
What's really important as well, I guess there's lots of layers to this project. The first obviously being the idea of get as many people as possible sort of out on the street doing the walk simultaneously. And the other thing about it is, I think, really the content of the walk, because it's really so much of the recordings are about interrogating architectural spaces that we live in or exist in or work in and the kind of different social landscapes that are manifest as a result of that. So, you know, for example, a tiny street market in India or a massive shopping centre in Plymouth or, a little street in Copenhagen, it for me that was also really important, was the content of the work, which is really about how the kind of spaces and the places that we spend our time in and how they affect our kind of social life or just these environmental effects. I'm just kind of thinking about, you know, the sounds in the souk, for example, are so rich and so, you know, many people chatting and talking. And then I did one recording in a shopping centre where I got people lost there. And the sound and the kind of sonic environment and the audio that you get is completely different. You know, it's like being in a swimming pool and the only voices you really hear are sort of screaming children and very muted music or people walking past and being very businesslike. And I just think it's really interesting how the sound kind of gives you an indication of what those spaces are like. And yeah, I mean, I've said it again, that the kind of social exchange there is there. So I think that's kind of like something that was important to me, was kind of reflecting on that, I suppose.
And it's audio that's always fascinated you.
I've worked mainly with audio, just naturally, I suppose. I don't know where we are, but it's nice, isn't it?
It's a confluence of rivers with a sort of ambient inevitable road sound in the background.
Yeah.
So the audio has always fascinated you.
The first really big audio project that I did was called Anecdotal City, and that was a very conscious decision not to use images. I was based in a library and I was collecting people's stories about the city and narratives, and I thought just recording their voices was a much richer kind of way into imagining place. And I think that's another thing, is when you work with sound and the voice, which is what I'm mainly working with, you leave much more space for the viewer's imagination to kind of fill in the gaps. And I think that's very much a part of the Guide to Getting Lost, is it's about these different factors colliding, I suppose. The fact that you're listening to something in your ears and hearing these recordings and instructions, and then you're seeing things in front of you, which are clearly you know, you've got to be aware of crossing roads and things like that. But then at the same time, you're sort of imagining what the sounds are or where they've come from. And I think that's really, really important as a kind of facet of the piece, I suppose, is that kind of imaginative space that is opened up through the sound.
Now you're going to give me the instruction to turn around and walk back the way you came.
Okay, so turn right and we'll walk straight up this path here.
You know, were you brought up on the radio and fascinated with sound, or are you a sort of an ethnographer, someone who's trying to, I know, capture the social milieu of the day-to-day?
Yeah, I think it's more that, really.
You an oral historian, getting someone to tell their stories or narratives of their lives or the journeys they've taken?
I'm not like a technical sort of sound geek type person. You'll probably hear from the recordings, but I love the richness of the sound, and I've grown to really enjoy listening to things, become more tuned into it. But really, the way this started off was much more about archives and building up databases of things and recording and mapping either anecdote or field recordings or, like you say, people's stories, things like that. I suppose with this piece there's a change as well. Well, not so much a change, but that it's really about the intervention, whereas other pieces that I've made have been much more about showing place, getting people to walk through and re-experience a place, very, you know, a very specific place. Like quite a few of the big projects that I did when I was in Cardiff were, you know, very much about kind of getting people to re-look at the city or re-experience something of that place. And this is obviously a similar kind of premise or a similar kind of motivation, but it's not about the specificity of the place, it's about the kind of openness, I suppose, or the openness for interpreting.
By inviting people to download a soundscape, may I call it that?
Yeah.
Download a soundscape, put headphones on, you're immediately getting them lost out of the actual environment they're already in by filtering out the sounds that they would be hearing around them.
Yes, which, you know, actually so many people do all the time anyway, because they're listening to iPod or, you know, as you're...
That's part of your intention too, is to disorientate people by making them listen through headphones.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Do you seek out places which have a rich soundscape when you're doing walks yourself? Or do you seek out places which actually have unusual soundscapes or minimalist soundscapes?
No, not really.
You don't do any of those things? You just take them as they come?
Yes. I suppose with the recordings that I made for the Guide to Getting Lost, it was much more about trying to get a breadth of a variety, I suppose. So there's a busy market walk, and then there's a countryside walk, which is, you know, completely different. And then there's a, you know, so for me, it was much more about that kind of, again, I guess we're coming back to the idea of the archive or the collection of things, and how in building up that collection you start to have a range of choices that you could make about where you wanted to listen to. I think that was kind of more what I was interested in. I've got the kind of collector mentality of kind of, oh, I've got three of these, now I want to get another one. And it becomes more like that, a sort of obsessiveness about generating more stuff. I mean, quite a lot of the projects that I've done have just been archives of hundreds of hours of stuff, which I'm sure you can relate to. I made a project about the shopping arcades in Cardiff in 2008, and I think I had something like 120 hours or something of interviews and recordings of people talking about the city, and that seems to be about the number of hours needed to make a substantial archive of something. So yeah, it's just more about the idea of the collection, really, as much as anything else. Turn right up there where you can see the road.
The actual recording of the spaces and the walks that you do, and you're encouraging all these people to go out and try to get lost. Let's try to work this out. Are you trying to lose yourself somewhere else? That's...
When I started making them, I was living in Cardiff. Certainly when I started to make the recordings, I was kind of like, or more just feeling like I know this city so well, and I've been so much a part of this city, and how do I find something interesting in it again? How do I kind of re-explore it or find something surprising?
For me, quite often, you know, I turn up somewhere and I've lost my way and I feel very anxious about it. There's almost a sort of part of me wants to get lost sometimes, but then when I am actually getting lost, I get very anxious. So inviting people to get lost is not really a sort of, are you trying to get them to experience anxiety? Or are you actually trying to get them to give a chance where they get lost away from the mundane day-to-day that they're living through? What are you up to?
I don't think it's about making people feel anxious, although that may be a side effect, I suppose, like you say. It's about getting people to test where their own boundaries are. I think I was saying earlier, it's about whether you decide to turn left into someone's garden and walk through their house, or if you decide to take the next left, which is a road some minutes down from that instruction. And I think it's about playing, really, I suppose, with place and space and convention, and deciding what your own limits are in terms of how you interpret the instructions. I think that was certainly more my motivation, is that it's a kind of playful sort of challenging of place. And certainly if you take the walk in a city, obviously there's less chance that you will really get lost, but it's more that things start to appear to you when you're in this moment of kind of drifting through, you know, taking this sort of drift for half an hour, I suppose. So I think it's really as much about people finding out about what their own limitations are and what they are prepared to do and not do.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Jenny Savage. And if listening to this before 6:30 p.m. British Summer Time on the 3rd of October 2014, then why not look up fracturemob.org to download, walk and listen to Jenny's piece on getting lost. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited. Our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.